Welcome to Exploring Video Games. I'm Anna Case, and today is Wednesday, April 10th, 3:27 p.m. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Welcome to my podcast. So on this podcast, I'm going to be talking about cleaning, art, and systems. I'm going to start off with some cleaning tips. Move all the cords off of the floor and out of the way before you do any vacuuming. That may seem obvious, but it took me a while to just do it automatically. If there are cords on the floor, you need to figure that out and you need to go around and deal with them. You might think to yourself, oh, I'll vacuum around it. I'll give it a bit of a wide berth. I have a feel for where this vacuum goes and how much suction it does. Just undo the cords or compact them and like shove them under a sofa or something, you know, because you might vacuum them up. You will vacuum them up if you're me. And it like slices them and yeah, you don't want to be messing with people's cords. My second tip is, it's something that I am still learning, and it's about pacing yourself. I only recently, within the past couple months, have made a really sincere effort to pace my coffee intake. I bring a thermos of coffee with me when I'm cleaning. Usually about 2 cups of coffee. And I find that life goes so much better when you just force yourself to treat it like a drug, which is what it is. So if I'm cleaning till like 2 o'clock, I want to make that coffee last until like at least 1 o'clock. So sometimes that means just trying to ignore the thermos and not drink as much as I want to. Sometimes I'll be drinking 2 sips every half an hour, something like that. But man, has that made a difference in my life. And it makes it so I'm not like crashing at like 11. It's great. Oh man, coffee is such a strong drug. I often think that I should not be drinking it, and then I understand why the Mormons vilify it, but it's such a joy. Pacing yourself also ties into something that I heard them talking about on Blue Collar Mystics, which is headlights, going at things with a headlight mentality. So they were saying that if you're driving, you're not thinking about the city 200 miles away. You're not thinking about that. You're just looking at what the headlights of your car are showing you. And I think that's a really good way to approach life, just to do what's in front of you and try not to think too hard in general and try not to think too hard into the future. I can often get caught up in like, oh, I have to do this room later, so why don't I just wash this down while I'm in here so I don't have to do it later, because later I'll be tired. And, like, even just thinking all that and planning that out is just a waste of energy. So those are my cleaning tips for today. Today I cleaned a bunch. I rented a carpet cleaning machine from a home improvement store. And I had never done that before. And it was great. It was like a 24-hour rental. So I picked it up last night. And I practiced it on some of my rugs. And man, do they look good. It's a huge machine, though. It's very cumbersome, which makes sense. And yeah, man, my carpets look like new carpets. The woman I cleaned her carpet today, she was very pleased with the result. And you get to dump out, you put in like, it has two chambers. You put in hot soapy water on one of the chambers, and then when you're doing it, it like sucks the water out and puts the dirty water into another chamber. So you get to like see the like disgusting rug water that you've cleaned. It's very, very satisfying. It also, every time there's something like that where you can see the results, I cleaned with so much bleach today, so I'm like, I've gotta clear my throat and stuff. Anytime there's like a see the results type of thing, I always think of like, whether it's a trick, you know? I think that's, I don't see how it could possibly be a trick with this device, but like there's these lipsticks that are, I think they're called like magic lipsticks, where they're like clear, it looks like a clear jelly-ish lipstick, and it's often advertised as like matching your mood or matching your skin tone when you put it on, but it's just it just turns a specific shade of red when you mix it with I forget what it, if it's oil or if it's water, but if it touches your skin, basically it just turns the same shade of red for everyone, you know. So I always I think there's also these like foot oh man, is my MP3 player on? Oh, it is. There are also these like foot pads that supposedly like clean out your immune system or something when you put them on the pads of your feet, and it like it when they're finished you have like all this like dead skin or something on the bottom of your foot, but it's just like the product that creates that like jelly like substance, like by putting it on your foot it's gonna create that no matter what, regardless of what's inside your feet. I don't see how this machine could possibly, you know, create artificially dirty looking water, but man, that water is so satisfying to throw up. So that was great, and now I know how to do that. I'm almost tempted to like buy one of them. They have like smaller versions, but I have a feeling the smaller version would not work as well. All right, so those are my cleaning tips. this is something that I've been loving, and I think about it a lot. There's a podcast called Paranoid American. Man, I should have looked up his name. His name is Thomas. It's a great show. And he does a segment called PCP, or Paranoid Conspiracy Probe, or something. He basically just does rapid fire questions to the guest about conspiracies. I'm definitely gonna have guests on at some point, and I would love to do this with them, but I thought it would be fun for me if I were to go over mine. So I'm gonna give a rapid fire of some conspiracies, and then I'm gonna rate from 1 to 10 about whether I believe them. 1 is that I don't at all believe it, and then 10 is I 100% believe it. So my first one is that life is a game. This is a 10 for me, and that ties into the, like, idea of this show, I guess. I just think life is a game. Chemtrails. That's a 10 for me as well. Whether or not they work to a specific goals, I'm not sure, but I'd be shocked if they weren't happening. Pictures steal your soul. Yeah. Oh, I feel like these are all going to be 10s. know if that's like a 10, whether that's literally true or not, but I would say, I guess, 8 for that one. Okay, next one. Bigfoot is a physical cryptid. Oh, I would say that's actually like a 4 for me. No, even less, probably. I would say that's like a 2 or a 3 for me. All right, next one. UFOs are extraterrestrial. Oh, again, I think that's probably a 2 or a 3. Next one. Is it possible for your consciousness to continue after life? That's a 1. I don't think it is. I think that when you die, the idea of yourself goes with it. I don't think you can really live after life in that regard. Okay, next one. Man-made moon. I don't know. I would say that's a 2. I don't really think the moon is made by men. Next one. There is an answer to life. No, that's a 1. There is not an answer to life. By that I mean that, like, if someone could whisper it into your ear, you would be, like, enlightened in some way where it's a very specific and succinct answer to life. I don't believe that at all. Angels. Next one. Angels. Yeah, I would say an 8, 9. Now, literally, physically, I don't know, but 8 or 9. Weather control, 10. I think that's even on wax about, like, weather control being a real thing. I think you can pay like $10,000 to do like cloud seeding for your wedding day or something like that. Okay, next one. Targeted individuals. I definitely think that there are targeted individuals without a doubt, but I also kind of think that probably most of the targeted individuals is something else. But nevertheless, that's definitely a 10. Even if most of it isn't exactly that. Oh, and the last one. Okay. Dragons and dinosaurs. I think those are, dragons, I would say, is probably a 9. And dinosaurs, I would say, is probably a 9 as well. I think probably both of those things existed. For dragons, I come back to, like, I feel like every day online I see some animal doing, like, the most wild thing you've ever seen in your life. That, a lizard breathing fire, just is at least on par with most of the animal stuff, like octopuses and stuff. It just doesn't seem that crazy to me that dragons would once exist. And yeah, dinosaurs, I think they probably existed too. Just big reptiles or big birds. That seems likely to me. So that's my paranoid conspiracy probe. Let's see if I want to get into any of those else. I don't know. I like the life is a game one. I really do think that very strongly. I also definitely have a very strong attitude of I don't believe in fiction too much. Like, I have a hard... everything seems kind of true to me. Except, I guess, consciousness afterlife. And I definitely don't think we, like, hard die or anything. I definitely think your soul lives on, but, you know, not your egoic mind, I guess. Oh, I always, I always think about this with chemtrails. I think I probably mentioned this in the last episode, but I just think if I were an evil overlord bent on world domination, which is what you need to be one of the people who runs the world, I think if I were them, would I be doing that? Would I be trying to poison people in mass and control their moods and their thoughts? And the answer is absolutely. It would be unfathomable for me not to be doing that if I were an elite. So that's usually how I come at conspiracies. Like, would I do that if I were them? Yeah, the answer is usually yes. I would certainly give it a try. I don't know if it would work that well, but it'd be literally crazy not to be trying to poison people and to crowd control with chemtrails. Now, in terms of, like, the specifics of it, I have no idea. Like, whether passenger liners are spraying chemicals meant for mind control. I would say probably not, but I have no idea. Let's see. Yeah, alright, well, that's all I'll say about it. I think that's fun. There's a couple conspiracies that I just do not care at all about. For some reason, I just have a hard time caring about Hollow Earth and caring about cryptids. Both of those things just don't interest me all that much. I will say, I do... There is a wonderful podcast called Ghost Stories for the End of the World, and I haven't listened to it in a while, but he had this ongoing thesis that I think about a lot, where a lot of conspiracy culture is kind of, and conspiracies themselves, a lot of them are kind of cover for the nefarious activities of our government and our military and our intelligence agencies, and how they're basically like cultural myths. And cultural myths have this power that goes beyond... They have this extra power that takes hold in people and also kind of provides an excuse to outsiders. You'll be like, it's just an American. Like, they have these crazy beliefs about Bigfoot. Like, of course, like, you gotta let them off the hook a little. They have these cultural beliefs about... You know, they're crazy. I don't know if I described that well, but Ghost Stories for the End of the World does a good job of getting into that. And I always think that the UFOs seem more like a myth to... specifically cover up military stuff, which is pretty cool. That's actually so cool. And I think the Hollow Earth stuff and the Flat Earth stuff is so strangely divisive and it's just a strange thing that seems like a real, distraction and, divisive, intentionally divisive fabrication. So that's really cool too, actually. There's a good podcast I listen to, what is it called? Program to Chill, and he talks about, he gets I'm not huge on like calling everything an op, but he's definitely, I think, made some good cases for a lot of the conspiracy stuff being like an op to steal the energy and divide people who might be thinking outside the box in terms of power structures. All right, I wanted to talk about some books that I've been reading. I just finished The Art of Dreaming by Carlos Castaneda, which I also heard about on Blue Collar Mystics. And man, it was crazy. I had never read Carlos Castaneda before. He's the guy who wrote the Don Juan books. And I've heard him mentioned many times throughout the years, but having read this, it unlocked this huge aspect of culture for me, where to me it totally puts David Lynch in a different perspective for me. Alejandro Jodorowsky, and even like Kate Bush, those three people, I'm like a big fan of their works. And to me, I don't know whether or not they were fans of Carlos, are fans of Carlos Castaneda, but to me, they definitely are. And having read it, it just, oh man, it just unlocks this part of their work. David Lynch in particular, I would be shocked if he wasn't a big fan. Just the way it's so sincere and very, very silly at the same time. Very, very vulnerable, I guess. The way people speak in the book, it's so Lynchian. I did not understand the book. It was a great book. Let me read some of one. I'm not sure if it'll get across what I'm trying to say. But do these inorganic beings really exist? Like you and I exist? I asked. Of course they do, he replied. Believe me. Sorcerers are very intelligent creatures. Under no condition would they toy with aberrations of the mind and then take them for real. Why do you say that they are alive? For sorcerers, having life means having consciousness. It means having an assemblage point and its surrounding glow of awareness, a condition that points out to sorcerers that the being in front of them, organic or inorganic, was thoroughly capable of perceiving. Perceiving is understood by sorcerers as the precondition of being alive. Then the inorganic beings must also die. Is that true, Don Juan? Naturally. They lose their awareness just like we do, except that the length of their consciousness is staggering to the mind. Do these inorganic beings appear to sorcerers? It's very difficult to tell what is what with them. Let's say that those beings are enticed by us, or, better yet, compelled to interact with us. Don Juan peered at me most intently. You're not taking in any of this at all, he said, with the tone of someone who has reached a conclusion. It's nearly impossible for me to think about this rationally, I said. I warned you that the subject will tax your reason. The proper thing to do then is to suspend judgment and let things take their course, meaning that you let the inorganic beings come to you. Are you serious, Don Juan? Deadly serious. The difficulty with inorganic beings is that their awareness is very slow in comparison with ours. It will take years for a sorcerer to be acknowledged by inorganic beings. So it is advisable to have patience and wait. Sooner or later, they show up, but not like you or I would show up. Theirs is a most peculiar way to make themselves known. That like brings a smile to my face the way it's written. It's just it's so silly and over the top, but it's not it's sincere and vulnerable at the same time. And the inorganic beings, it really makes me think of the third season of Twin Peaks, which I love so much. That episode, oh my gosh, the whole thing is great. But anyway, so much of it reminds me of Twin Peaks. And I'm definitely going to read more of Carlos Castaneda. I also just finished Pet Sematary, the book by Stephen King. I love Stephen King. And I did not like Pet Sematary. It was very, very slow, and it was mostly like a family drama. It was like a domestic drama. And there were like maybe 60 pages where it was awesome and horrifying, and there's lots of horrors going on, but then the other 400 pages were so slow and boring to me. Recently, or within the past year, I read some Stephen King that I loved. The Tommyknockers. I thought that one was so good. Firestarter. I guess I read that a couple of years ago, but that's my other... that's one of my favorites, where it's just wall-to-wall insane action and terrifying things happening. I thought Pet Sematary was a dud. I would be interested to watch the movie. I think I should. It had a great ending, and... but it really felt like he wrote a short story and then added 400 pages to that short story of just, like, slow... happenings. I was listening to the Rare Candy podcast yesterday. They were talking about Shane Carruth movies. Primer is one of the best movies out there. I love Primer so much. And Glenn Rockne, one of the hosts of the Rare Candy podcast, he was talking about how Shane Carruth seemingly just makes these movies entirely for himself. And Glenn was saying that that's the definition of pretentiousness, making art entirely for themselves and not really caring about its reception too much. And I loved that. And that's, to me, that's absolutely my favorite kind of art. That's the art that I would ideally make. I think that's the art I do make. I just make it for me. I see no point in... why else would you make it? To please people. Yeah. Or not even to please, but to give, you know. It's not a... It can be a wonderful thing. That's the best art to me. It's very, very personal, strange... point of views. That being said, I also love Stephen King, which is like a very, very wide, pleasing works of art. So that's just something I was thinking about. Something else I was thinking about, kind of relating to that, is how, I always wonder how much agency Stephen King has in his the subjects of his books. I'm sure it's much, 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 much less than smaller writers, as with anything. But I was watching Game of Thrones, and when I watch TV, I'm like every time someone takes a drink of alcohol or anytime alcohol is shown, I wonder, or anything. This could apply to like any number of things on TV shows. I'm like, I bet every single sip of alcohol is paid for, you know, like, and maybe not like literally, but when I watch Always Sunny, when I watch sitcoms, I'm like, I bet that they're being paid to have 57 drinks of someone taking a shot or whatever, 57 times of someone drinking on screen, because it makes you want to drink. And it's so influential, I guess is what I'm saying. I think that people and myself don't give enough credit to how influenced we are by what we see on TV and movies and books. So yeah, I always think of that. I always wonder what the machine behind Stephen King books are. I mean, I'm sure it's like a little bit like, I think the bigger you get, the more, like Stephen King, I'm sure he writes all the books, but I'm sure there's many other people and organizations and companies that have a huge say in what goes into those books. And I'm sure the same can be true of any media. So yeah, that's something that I always think about. All right, I do not have too much more to say today. I am hosting a meetup for the Higher Side Chats podcast. Go to, I think it's highersidemeetups.com, but it's going to be in Clark Park in West Philadelphia on Saturday, April 13th at 2:30. And we're going to be at the 43rd and Baltimore entrance of that park with a big Higher Side Chat sign. And we're also going to be bringing a bunch of seeds and a bunch of starts for plants. So we thought it'd be nice to trade some of those or swap some of those or something. So yeah, I hope that goes well. I'm sure it will. It has always gone well in the past. And once again, I cannot recommend Higher Side Meetups enough. It's or the Higher Side Chats as a podcast, but it's a huge podcast. It's one of the larger conspiracy podcasts. And he has a wonderful system for creating meetups, and it's free. It's free to do that, and he will announce them at the end of the episodes. Yeah, it's the best. You will meet friends. Although I do live in Philadelphia, which is a pretty big city, so it's probably harder elsewhere. Nevertheless, give it a try. It's the best. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Email me at exploringvideogames@aol.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.